Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
God has commanded the gospel to be preached, and all of the nations are to obey. And I can tell you right now, I know for a fact that in every nation on this planet, there are people that don't know Christ, obviously, but there are people that want to know Christ.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 16, verses 25 through 27, in a message titled, The Benediction. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
Following the saving events of Christ, God gave his people a new Christological understanding of the Old Testament as bearing witness to Christ, and then enabled the whole picture to become clear. So you see, today we read the Old Testament through the lens of the New Testament, don't we? We see Christ all over the Old Testament. It's clear to us, as it was made clear to the apostles and the prophets in the first century. And as these guys went around preaching the gospel, and especially when they preached it among the Jews, they relied heavily on what we would call the Old Testament. They went into the synagogues and they reasoned from the scriptures, and they referred to the prophets and they quoted Moses and these others, because for them, that new understanding had come. And so everyone who then would come to faith in Jesus, they would also have that same understanding revealed to them. But that's what we have today. We have the benefit of being able to understand the Old Testament through the lens of the New Testament. And again, that's what Paul is saying, that the secret has been made manifest by the prophetic scriptures and made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God. I think we forget this sometimes, and I think we quite often are far too passive when it comes to evangelism or just the understanding of the call to get the gospel out. But do we realize that God has commanded all men everywhere to repent? God's commanded people to repent. I've often thought about, you know, if I ever had a chance to speak to Congress or something like that. It's not like I want to necessarily, but, you know, I thought, well, you know, if I did, what would I say? And, you know, think of all of the things that have been said in Congress, all the things that might be said, all of the issues that one could conceivably address before that body of legislators. You know, you think of all the things that could be said. And, you know, as I thought of it and all the different issues, I thought, you know, I wouldn't touch on any of those things. This is what I would preach on. God has appointed a day. He commands all men everywhere to repent, and he's appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by Jesus Christ. Because that's really the issue. And I think, like I said, I think as the church, we kind of forget that. And we tend to be very passive a lot of times. And we tend to say, well, you know, those are sinners and they're just doing their thing. And you know, I think we need to just remember that the commandment of the everlasting God is the obedience of all the nations to the faith. God is calling every nation to repent and to put their faith in Christ. And those who refuse to do it, there's coming a day when he's going to judge them by Jesus Christ. That's the reality. And that's, again, what Paul is saying here. And so because this is the case, God has called us to go and make disciples of the nations. Now, the word nations isn't nations like we think of them. It's the word literally means people groups, if you will, or ethnicities. And what it's talking about is, like, for example, what we see in Revelation chapter 5, the reference to every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every people. He's talking about all of the ethnic groups in the world. In other words, the gospel is to go to everybody. It's to go to every ethnicity. It's to go to every social class. There's nobody on the face of the earth that doesn't need the gospel. There's nobody on the face of the earth that the gospel hasn't been sent to. And so our job is to help that happen. However God would use us, we all would have different roles to play in this. Not everybody's going to have the exact same role, but we're all to be working together with this purpose in mind of getting the gospel to the nations, calling the nations to put their faith in Christ, calling all people to put their faith in Jesus and obey God, coming into this submissive relationship to God. Now, the Great Commission, most of you are familiar with that terminology, but the Great Commission is a reference to Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus says, you know, go into the world, make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to observe everything that I've taught you, baptizing them in the name of the Father and so forth. And, you know, he says, and behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And so he sends them out. That's what he did. And so we commonly refer to that as the Great Commission. Now, notice the Great Commission was not simply to evangelize. It wasn't simply to go out and get as many people to receive Christ as you possibly could. It wasn't to simply go out and, you know, in our Christian cultural experience today, we would, you know, try to lead somebody to the Lord. We would try to lead them in a sinner's prayer, perhaps. Or, you know, in some way we would encourage them to make a commitment to Jesus, and we would want them to, you know, get saved. And that's good. But the Great Commission was not merely to do that, but to make disciples of people. And this kind of takes us back to where we began with the establishing of people in the faith. Now, the way that the apostles did this, and I think what they understood Jesus to be saying, evidently they understood him to be saying this because this is what they did. They understood him to be saying that they were to go out and preach the gospel, and then they were to establish churches so that people could be built up and rooted in their faith. So really, the Great Commission is church planting. The Great Commission is getting churches established where the Bible is taught, where the gospel is preached, where individual people can grow in their faith and become mature believers and reproduce as healthy, strong Christians. Now, I'm not saying that because I don't think we should go out and just evangelize people individually. Of course, we can do that. And especially as the Lord leads and the opportunities come and so forth. But, you know, I'm thinking more in the sense of maybe outside of, at least outside of our immediate area, but, you know, to some degree outside of the country. You know, you go to different places, and like I said, you can get a crowd and you'll see people that are interested in this gospel message. But if we just go and are content to lead them in a sinner's prayer, take a few pictures and say, praise the Lord, we did a great outreach, and hey, we'll see you guys later. God bless you. We have not done our job. There's more to it than that.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you that you can connect with Pastor Brian anytime through all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com, where you can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website, and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
When the Lord sent me in a group with me to Eastern Europe years and years ago, 20 plus years ago, we had that kind of experience where we went into a place where nobody had heard the gospel and they wanted to hear it. They were anxious to hear it. They couldn't get enough of it. And when we stood on the streets and did some music and began to preach, large crowds of people gathered around. And a lot of these young people received Christ right there on the spot. And we spent a good, you know, week with them, encouraging them and spending time with them and teaching them a little bit about the Bible and all that. But when it came time to go, this is what I knew. I had this deep conviction that if we just leave these guys to themselves, they're never going to survive spiritually. They were not welcome in the existing churches because the churches were more traditional and they were just young, sort of rowdy types, you know. And so they wouldn't have been welcomed in the churches. And there were very few churches anyway in that communist atmosphere. But I just remember having this deep sense like, man, we have got to do something for these guys. We can't just, adios, it's been great knowing you. Glad you came to Jesus. We'll see you later. We'll see you in heaven. You know, we just couldn't do that. So I didn't even know what I was going to do, but I just looked at him and I said, hey, listen, I'll tell you what. You guys stick together. There were about 15 of them. You guys stick together and encourage each other and keep studying your Bibles, just, you know, reading, just like we showed you how to. And I said, and I promise you within a month, I'll have somebody that will come back here and they will help you to grow as Christians. And so I came home and through prayer, God put a few different young people on my heart, rounded up a team of four, sent them back over, and they began to disciple this group of about 15 kids. And this became the first church plant in Eastern Europe that we had as a Calvary Chapel Fellowship. And then they went across the border into another country and had a similar kind of experience and realized, you know, we got to start a church here for these guys as well. And now today we've got dozens and dozens of churches in that part of the world. And it's so exciting to see what God's doing. But the point being, it was absolutely necessary to plant those churches. And it's necessary to keep doing that today. And I often wonder why we've sort of, you know, slowed down on that a little bit. As a matter of fact, Phil and John were just in the Ukraine and Russia, and John was telling me they attended a conference. Phil attended a conference in Russia, and then they went down to the Ukrainian conference, and they brought a few of the Russian pastors with them down to the Ukraine. And John was telling me that the Ukrainians are all fired up with church planting. They keep planting churches, and they're all excited about it. And they really provoked the Russians, who themselves hadn't planted any churches for a while. They've been going for, you know, 10, 15 years, some of them even a bit longer. They've kind of settled in and they're doing their thing, but they haven't really been thinking about, hey, we got to get this out. We got to spread this. So they were convicted. They went back home feeling like, man, we got to get back into fulfilling the Great Commission. But we do. We've got to do that. We've got to keep sending people out. We've got to keep planting churches. And I've said this before, but you know, I want to say it again. You never know. Some of you in here tonight, some of you might be called to go out and do something like that at some point. We need to be thinking in those terms. This is, you know, all of the other things that we do. I mean, obviously we have jobs and we have lives and families and homes and cars. You know, we have all of this stuff. But this isn't the real thing. This isn't the main thing that we're to occupy ourselves with. We are to be occupied with this Great Commission, this spreading of the gospel. Now, like I said, you might not be the person that's going to go and actually do it, but we all have a part in the spreading of the gospel. We all have a part in seeing churches established so people can grow in their faith. So we have to see, okay, Lord, what do I do? What's my role in this thing? What's my contribution? I might not be the person that's going to go do it, but maybe I'm going to be a support person back here. Maybe I'm going to pray for that, or maybe I'm going to commit financially to seeing that happen. I want to give faithfully to this person and this mission. I really believe that God wants to stir us up and give us a fresh vision to do the very thing that Paul's talking about here, the very thing that he was doing, the very thing that he spent his entire life doing, and the very thing that Christians have been doing all throughout the long history of the church. And we've got to keep doing it right up until the very moment when Jesus takes us out of here. There's no reason to slow down. There's no reason to stop. There's no reason to say, well, hey, you know, the Lord's coming back anytime. We don't want to get all involved in this if God's going to come. We don't know when the Lord's coming back. I remember 30 years ago people saying things like, well, I don't think I can do that. I feel like the Lord's put on my heart. He's coming back so soon, we just don't have time to do anything like that. Well, I remember one couple that they wanted to have children. They didn't get pregnant immediately, and they came and said, well, we prayed about it. The Lord told us he's coming so soon, there's no time for us to have kids. You know, they were pregnant a year later and ended up having a bunch of kids, you know. But sometimes we think that, well, you know, it's all kind of winding down anyway, so we probably ought to just sit tight and buckle up and just, you know, just make sure we get through and get to heaven. No, we're to be working right up to the very end, right up to the last minute, right? We ought to be occupied with the things of the kingdom when the trumpet sounds. So this is what we're called to do. God has commanded the gospel to be preached, and all of the nations are to obey. And I can tell you right now, I know for a fact that in every nation on this planet, there are people that don't know Christ, obviously, but there are people that want to know Christ. There are people that will know the Lord if somebody will get the message to them. There are people that will follow Jesus. There are people that will glorify him. There are people that will live for him and serve him. And they themselves will be raised up, and they will preach the gospel, and they will teach the Bible, and they will plant churches. Man, I love, you know, the times. I haven't been to Russia for a few years, but I remember years ago when I used to go fairly often. And I remember I would go and I would meet all these Russian guys that were, you know, had gotten saved and were growing and were, you know, moving toward pastoring. Some of them were pastoring churches. And I would think to myself, man, you know, and back then I would think, wow, 10, 15 years ago, these guys were locked into communism. They were locked into an atheistic system. The government had its, you know, iron fist around their necks. And I would think, man, look at these young guys. These are God's men in this culture, in this nation. And all the time, they were waiting for the gospel. They were ready to hear it. They were ready to believe it. They were ready to follow the Lord. And when the opportunity came and the doors opened and people went in, they received Christ. And they're the ones that are following him today. They're the ones that are serving him today. And like I said, I know that is true among all of the nations. And I know it's true even in our nation still today. You know, sometimes we kind of almost give up in regards to our own culture, our own community even, and our own country. Oh, it's, you know, everybody's heard the gospel, you know, Christian nation. It's been so saturated, and there's not anybody out there anymore that's going to believe. No, there's lots of people that are still going to believe in Jesus. There's lots of people that are going to come to faith. And I think of the younger generation, and, you know, to some extent we get a bit discouraged because we feel like, man, where are all the young people these days? They're not in the churches. Well, they are in some churches, actually. But, you know, regardless of that, the fact of the matter is, I never thought I was going to get saved when I was a young person. I never dreamed that I was going to become a follower of Christ. I was out there just doing my own thing. Couldn't care less about mostly anything. Last thing I ever wanted to do or thought about doing was becoming a Christian, or, you know, especially becoming a pastor. The thought never crossed my mind. I can tell you that honestly right now. But what happened? Oh, the Lord got a hold of me. The Lord met me when I wasn't even looking for him necessarily. He tracked me down and he found me. And he revealed himself to me. And he said, come follow me. And I said, okay. You know, so, and a lot of you did the same thing too. I know some of you. I know that's exactly what you did. But here's the deal. Remember this. There's a bunch of people out there just like us. There's a bunch of people out there right now that are just like that. The last thing on their mind is that they would ever become a Christian. My friend was telling me a story. I don't think I told you guys this, but he's a professor at a university. And he was telling me he teaches the Bible as literature. He's been teaching that for years, but he was telling me a couple months ago when we were having lunch together, he was telling me that some other person had, you know, begun to teach that. And I didn't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing. So I said, well, what did they do? They took it away from me or something? He said, no. He said, actually what happened is he said, there's another professor on campus, and listen to this, he was the leading communist on the campus among the faculty. He was the communist. He was the guy who was teaching, promoting, evangelizing, you know, to Marxism. He was the one who was doing all of this. This guy meets a Christian girl. She leads him to Christ. They get married. And now he's the guy teaching the Bible on the campus. He's the guy evangelizing. He's the guy telling everybody, hey, I had it wrong with the Marx thing. Jesus is the, he's the real answer. He's the real solution to the problem. But, you know, when he was telling me that story, I thought, wow, you know, how unlikely. But you see, that's the thing. We've got to remember this, that there are people out there that are going to respond to the gospel. And so, this is what Paul is saying, that God has made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith, to God alone wise. You know, I was thinking about this today. To God alone who is wise. You know, one of the things to me, and maybe this will help you too, one of the things that just convinces me deep in my soul, one of the things that convinces me of the absolute certainty of this message is how unlike anything that man has ever come up with it is. You know, you hear the word counterintuitive. The gospel is counterintuitive. It is the exact opposite of what man thinks. It's a message that is completely the opposite of what has originated with man. If you look at every single religion, regardless of the differences, the essence of them is all the same, at least in regard to the way of salvation. It's always the same thing. You are going to do some laborious thing to attain salvation, whatever that looks like. And it, you know, looks different ways from different religious point of views. But the way you get it is always the same. You're going to work for it. You're going to exert effort. You're going to do something that is going to earn you this salvation. It's only this message in the Bible that is different. This is the only message that is different.
For the month of May, Back to Basics Radio is offering a DVD collection titled Israel on Location with Chuck Smith. This DVD studies the richness of the Hebrew culture and homeland, from their feast to their covenants with God, from the Ark of the Covenant to the Temple Mount, from the wilderness to the Promised Land, as Chuck Smith tours 14 different locations in Israel. You'll be fascinated as Pastor Chuck tours the ancient city of Joppa, Caesarea, the Sea of Galilee, Bethlehem, and the sites surrounding Jerusalem, such as the Mount of Olives, the Garden of Gethsemane, the Temple Steps, the Upper Room, and the Garden Tomb. We encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443. Or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order this DVD set, Israel on Location with Chuck Smith. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the Israel on Location with Chuck Smith DVD set as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.